You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hoofit. Head. And Hotbox.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 13 of The Training Dummies, recorded on September 20th, 2012. I am Taylor, I play a druid tank, and joining me tonight is Rob, the Death Knight, Hotpox, and also Daryl, the Tauren Shaman Hend. Tonight, we're going to discuss a lot about, a lot of people had some questions for dummies, and we're going to get into that here. Also, later in the show, we're going to have some contest winners, and we'll do some shout-outs and other things. But before we get started on all of that, Hotpox, how's your week been?
You're just skipping over the edited versions of these.
Oh, I'm getting good
show notes
now.
That were doesn't faze you anymore. No more.
I think he actually read it ahead of time today.
Oh, dude. Pretty good. No raid tonight, which I think is fine because we there's not a whole lot of point. I think everyone's kind of got the talent system figured out, and until we get in and level up and spend some time in the Mists of Pandaria, there's not a whole lot going on, so giving people a couple weeks of chilling out and whatnot. I've been pushing pretty hard on a couple of alts over on another server. Got a little warrior that I'm trying to get leveled up, and I was going to try and have that done before the expansion, but I don't know. She's like 62 or 63 now, so we'll see. I don't know. It's been fun. Revenge, if anybody who's familiar with Prot Warrior, Revenge is absolutely ridiculous right now. At level 55, I was tanking lower Black Rock Spire, and I was averaging about 3 to 4K DPS on AoE pulls, and like between 2 and 3K on the bosses, and that was at level 55. And I've started laughing and realizing I've seen people in Cata dungeons not doing that much damage, so that was kind of awesome, and it's been fun, and I teared through stuff, but yeah, it's been cool. Hind, what are you up to?
In game, not a lot. I've been trying to complete a transmog set for my paladin. So far, it's the shoulders still eluding me. Every day, I'm running it on heroic, and they're just not dropping for me, so I'll keep doing that. Other than that, I haven't done much. I've played my level 40 hunter a little bit. I think I'm up to 45 now, just here and there. And other than that, I've been working on the kitchen. I got the floor done, so that's looking really good right now. And then the cabinet guy was here on Wednesday and finally put the bases down. So by bases, I mean just a few little small boxes about 3 inches high that the cabinets are actually going to sit on.
So he came in and dropped
something,
the base?
At least. Yes, he came in and dropped the base.
There's nice. Some Skrillex going on there.
And then left for a week, so. But yeah, other than that, it's been uneventful, you know, working in the kitchen every night, doing a little bit here and there, and then a little bit in game, just a little bit here and there, so. Nothing too exciting. And yeah, I guess I did the scenario last night for the first time. My wife and I hopped on, and Taylor took us for a run through just because we hadn't done it yet. So
yeah,
it was, I don't know, uneventful, I guess. Wasn't all that exciting. I understand what was happening just because I've read the book. I've gotten to about that part in the book, so I'm about half done the book. Other than that, yeah, not too much. Taylor, what have you been up to?
Well, I finished. Okay, so a few episodes back, I was reading the War of the Ancients trilogy, and I had two other books that I had on the sidelines waiting. And hindsight, I should have read them in a different order because I had started reading Day of the Dragon, which is technically before the War of the Ancients trilogy because the Ronin character isn't as developed as he is in War of the Ancients. Anyway, So I finished Day of the Dragon, and then I also started and finished Lord of the Clans in the same day. It was a pretty quick read.
Oh, wow.
It was a smaller book, but it was a pretty quick read. So I finished that. Also in game, I've been working on an alt because for a lack of world event this expansion, I was kind of there's not a whole lot to do, so I was playing around with an alt, and I was doing an experiment, like, to see, you know, if a new player, obviously I have the knowledge, but a new player with no guild, with no heirlooms, with no help, no seed money, no bags, nothing, just straight on a completely new server, nobody, just completely solo, leveling up a brand new character. Having some of the knowledge, I'm still doing pretty good, but just, I mean, I see people all the time saying they don't have money to do stuff, Rob, and they, you know, just other things that...
Dude, my alts are hard to feed, man.
Well, this is an alt, and by the time I hit 70, I had already had, so I had purchased everything I could from the mount / flight master as soon as I could. So as soon as I could get flying, I had flying. As soon as I could get the epic flying, I had epic flying. As soon as I could get cold weather flying, I got that. As soon as I could get Kalimdor flying, I got that. And the only one I haven't gotten yet is the 310%, the super fast flying on him. But I just hit 80 at a little over 3 days played, but not at 4 days, just probably a little under 3.5 days. And with all of that, except for the last thing to get from the flight dude, I am at about, probably when I log back in, I'll have a little over 7,000 gold sitting in me, because I saw a whole bunch of my auctions were selling. He's a Tauren Druid Herbalist Miner. Now, the miner part doesn't matter too much, but the herbalism part, once you get flying and you're cruising around in Outland and Northrend, and when you're gathering those herbs and minerals that are your level equivalent, they give a lot of experience. And when you've got the epic flying and you can just zip around and pick them up, he's tank spec'd, because that's the best druid you can be, but you know, because I love rounding up a whole junk load of mobs and killing them all, just tons and tons at a time. But man, it is so easy just to swoop down and gather herbs, and I went from 79 to 80 in under an hour, just gathering herbs and minerals, and then I made about 800 gold from doing it. So yeah, that's what I've been doing.
We were talking earlier, if you're leveling a class that has a potential tank spec, you should probably just level as that, like Pro Warrior, Pally, or Blood DK, or Bear Tank, because at those lower levels you do just as much damage, and your survivability is just through the roof. You know, this warrior that I'm doing. I was over in Outlands, you know, doing some of those intro quests where you got to destroy those little portals and you got to, you know, round up these dudes and get the little stones and everything. And I'm like, I just got on a mount, I flew, I just stayed on the ground, like did a couple of laps and rounded up probably, you know, 20, 25 of these mobs and just tore into them. And it was like not even a problem. No big deal. You know, you got yourself heals, you got your mitigation, your stuns, you just tear through it, and you got a nice neat pile that you get to AoE loot everything, and you're good to go. So there's no point in fighting through it in a DPS spec where you're taking a lot more damage, and you know, it's the output isn't worth it at that point, I don't think.
No, leveling as tank is almost cheating, it feels like.
Yeah.
but not quite as cheating as a Tauren Druid with epic flight and herbalism.
I know. If you're a Tauren Druid and you're not an herbalist, you need to You have some soul searching to do.
I'm not kidding. There is some serious leveling advantage to that. I mean, even if you're doing quests and there's an herb along the way, you don't even go out of form. You just drop down, pick it up. It's not even, it's like a 1 second or half a second loot time, and you just go on your way. And it's like as much as a mob kill, sometimes more. In Ice Crown, when I was mining Lich Bloom and Ice Thorn, when I was herbing Lich Bloom and Ice Thorn, I was getting twice as much experience for looting one of those things than killing a dude on the ground. It was just ridiculous. So, all right, I don't know. We got a lot of emails and questions today. And so this show, we're going to take it a little easy. I mean, we can only come up with our own material so much, right?
right.
We let you guys come up with the material this time. So we have a whole bunch of variety of stuff that you guys asked us, and we're going to go ahead and answer those. So how about, let's see. Rob, you want to start us off there with that first one?
Yeah, you got it. Looks like this is an email. It says, "Hi, Training Dummies crew. We tweeted a bit about this mouse over macro I would like. I'll try to explain it as good as I can, and I'm sorry for the typos. Here goes. On my druid healer and my pally healer, I want a macro that when I point to a teammate, puts the heal on him I need without losing my target or focus. So I point to my grid, hit my 4 key to rejuve, or 3 to regrowth. And when I move my mouse away from the grid, I want to be able to use one of my oh poop spells on the MT, we're going to say main tank, and keep Life Bloom up without having to find him first. I really hate how Healbot, etc., uses control and shift modifiers to control it. This is very unnatural for me. I did research since our last tweets, and it seems that I will need a macro for every spell that I want to cast. I bet you guys have a better way. Keep it up the good work. Sincerely, Farandil, aka Thomas Bro."
Thomas Bro.
We were talking, Thomas Bro, Brofist. Pretty much, we were talking a little bit before. This is only if his last name is Fist. Thomas Brofist. The modifiers are going to be something that you can't really get away from, because in order to have a macro that has different functions, there has to be a way for that to be changed, whether it's through a shift or a control modifier. But this is a little more healing question. Hand, why don't I know you probably deal with a little bit of this. Why don't you want to give us your 2 cents on that?
Sure. I'm not sure exactly if I... Like, I don't have any of my spells set up to be focus only, other than my, I think it's just my crowd control spell. But to do it the way he wants to do it, I think if you're not going to modify it with the controller shift, you can modify the target. So you'd want to have a mouse over macro first to cast his rejuve or regrowth spell. And then the next condition he'd want to have as a focus. So he'd always have to make sure he focused his main tank so that he could have his 4 key, for instance, he says here is rejuve. He could do rejuve, and then if he doesn't mouse over anyone in grid, he could set it so that it will cast Life Bloom on his focus target, which should be his tank. And then same thing with regrowth. If he wanted to set up an oh crap button for the main tank, he could do that at or targeting the focus. So it would cast regrowth over grid if he's moused over anyone, takes the mouse off of there like he's suggesting he wants to, and then it would cast, Nature Swiftness and his big heal on the main tank. So, you know, that's the way I see this working in the way he's describing. I hope that's what he's looking for. But like I said, I don't use focus for healing myself. I use all mouse overs, and the only focus I use is for my crowd control. So if I have anything focused, 99% of the time, it's an enemy target. Taylor,
so it sounds
do you have
like,
on? Yeah.
I was just gonna say, so it sounds like really the way that this macro is going to be modified is the actual writing of the macro. So it's going to behave differently depending on where you have your mouse or where, you know, where you're positioning rather than using a shift or a control or an alt or something like that.
Yeah. When I'm looking at this email, it's one of the last questions or statements, it seems I'll need a macro for every spell I want to cast. This is the sentence that I focused on, because if you're going to get into macros and you're going to get into macro casting, the macro is just the spell with extra stuff on it that can either do what Healbot or Grid does, or it can do something more in the reverse of that. So what you're trying to avoid is avoid the shift and control and alt key modifiers and key presses to cast different spells. You want to hit just your, you know, 1 through 6 for your primary spells or whatnot. This is what I'm seeing. So you're going to want at least those primary spells macroed. Your regrowth, your life bloom, your rejuvenation. I can't remember all them all, but all of your primary ones, you're going to want all of those macroed, and you will probably want, and it doesn't matter if you're using Healbot, Grid, or the default raid frames, or any raid frame, it doesn't matter. You'll want to use, I would say, put in even 3 conditions, really. At least for your oh crap buttons. So maybe most of your normal heals are just going to be normal mouse over macros, and it's basically just a spell with a mouse over condition, so you can still press 4 for rejuve, 3 for regrowth, and you don't even have to target anything, you're just moused over it. And then maybe your oh crap button is number 5, which has nature swiftness and the big instant nuke heal. So, and you want to always have that on the tank. So maybe the macro that you bind to the 5 key, maybe that macro has, you know, the mouse over condition first, so that you can use it on anybody if you have to. But if you always focus or target the tank, then the macro will have 2 other conditions. So the first one will be mouse over, the second one will be focus, and the third one will be target. Or those last 2 can be flipped in reverse, depending on if you like to focus enemies for crowd control reasons. Maybe you're rooting, cycloning, or putting them to sleep. Hibernation, that's what I was looking for. it just depends on your playstyle. So this email is asking for something very specific, and I'm not exactly sure his playstyle, but I'm going to say you're going to definitely want the first condition to be mouse over. The second and third condition are going to be based on what do you prefer to focus. Do you prefer to focus enemies or friendly units? And do you prefer to target enemies or target friendly units? Whichever one is the enemy is the one you want to put in the middle. And then the last one you want to put... I lost myself. I got to write this down on paper. Jeez. It's not as complicated as it sounds, because when you're using it, it's just one button press, and the spell will change depending on what you do. You know, if you're not moused over anything, it'll cast all your good stuff on your focus or your target, without considering the mouse over. If you do it like you said you want to do, if you want to move your mouse away from the unit frames and just move it, you know, off to the side of the screen in the corner or somewhere where it's not registering a mouse over and you don't have to target anybody, as long as you've got your main tank targeted or focused, you can tell the macro to, if it doesn't meet a mouse over condition, to go straight to the focus or straight to the target and then do these other things. So, yeah, it's just a question of whatever your priority. If you want Ferindil, you can write us back and maybe re-elaborate, and then we can figure it out from there. But really, it's a very simple macro that just has 3 conditions, and then it has all of your, you know, pop your instant cast, pop your trinkets, pop your big heals, all of that. Pretty simple. I I think. Hand, what does that sound about right? That's about kind of how we do it, but how we can modify it for him.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Yeah, that's about right.
This is how we do it.
Man, singing again.
Well, I had to bust that out for you.
Is this number one for the night?
I think so.
Oh, man.
Well, another thing I liked about this topic is that we've also filled our quota of talking about mouse over macros for Kevin from the Dark Moon Herald. So
Kevin. That one was for you, buddy.
And see, we didn't even ask. These are listener questions, so we're just giving the people what they want.
People want macros, and we love macros.
Yes, yes, they do. All right, let's move on here. We got another email here. Hey guys, Axton here. This guy actually popped into the Hoarderlies chat for a little bit last week. But anyway, I just wanted to say I love the show and particularly enjoyed the Mouse Over Macro episode.
As we all did.
Uh-oh.
I currently play a Resto Druid, but I'm trying to break into the world of tanking on both my Druid and my Paladin. One thing I've never given much thought to as Resto is keybinds. I simply bind my macros to keys 1 to 4 and a few keys close to WASD, then try to commit them to muscle memory. That works well for Resto, but doesn't seem to cut it for other specs or alts. Maybe you could cover keybinds on the show, specifically in regard to uniformity between specs or alts. Example, interrupt bound to the same key throughout all tunes. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. Connor. I actually have, for myself, I have a lot of keybinds. Like you mentioned, between the WASD, I also have R, T, F, and G, and 1 through 6 I use as my main keys for that. For my interrupt, I have one of my mouse keys bound for that I have a multi-button mouse that we all use, and I think we're going to mention a little bit later on the show. For interrupt, I have it the same, like you mentioned, I have it on the same button for all of my characters.
Yep, same here.
You know, and for all my healers, I have my big oh crap macro to the T for all of them. So, you know, Shaman, Druid, Paladin, all of them, it's on the same keys. So you got to build that muscle memory. And it is a lot easier if you have similar spells to put it on similar keys. How do you guys deal with this, your keybinds?
There are always similar abilities between any class, even if you're Resto.
Exactly what I was going to say.
What I would suggest is, obviously, a healing spell is not a DPS spell, but what you can do is, you have a primary nuke healing spell, or an instant cast healing spell, just like you've got a damage spell with a cast time, or an instant cast spell. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about melee classes, that's going to be a little bit different, but it really just gives you a little bit more freedom because you don't have to worry about putting those in too specific of a places other than keep your couple of main primary, you know, your AoE, your hard-hitting single target spell in the same kind of places that you would keep your, you know, caster or healer versions of those spells. Now, he didn't mention that he has a gaming mouse. And by gaming mouse, we mean any mouse. It doesn't even have to be called a gaming mouse. It could be any mouse that you buy at a store that has more than just right, left click, and a scroll wheel. It'll have a couple of buttons for the thumb or the fingers or whatever. Any multi-button mouse will make this easier.
Yeah.
What I've ended up doing, my habit, and this might not hold true for Hender Rob, except because I introduced him to this particular mouse and how I had it set up, they might have carried over some of these habits.
Wait a minute.
Oh, wait, I thought Hender.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get this right here. I introduced you guys to this mouse. Like, come
right,
on.
Right after he taught you about macros.
That's right,
and
I forgot.
And keybinds, he said, also, I've got this mouse.
Okay, so right after Hend introduced me to this mouse, Hend also said that I should relay this information to everyone else. So, I have... All of my mouse button keybinds are all instant or AoE spells. By AoE spells, I refer to the ones that where you have to place a reticule on the ground somewhere, like Blizzard or Flame Strike or
Death and Decay.
Healing Rain,
Death and Decay. All of those things where you have to choose a place on the ground for it to appear and then cast the spell. I have all of the, either, not all, but I have many of those interrupts, instant cast spells on the mouse. And the reasoning behind this is because I play very similar to a first-person shooter. You know, I use WASD for most movement, and I'll use the mouse for either whipping the camera around or, you know, double mouse button for run sometimes. But the practice behind it is almost every one of my cast time spells, excluding my tanks, all of my cast time spells are on my 1-6 keys. I do have others, you know, from 7 through the plus, but, you know, for quick access, 1-6 are your primary, pretty much easy to reach keys. So those are going to be the ones with my cast time or things that are I have to use or I need quick access to. And the reasoning behind that is most of the time I'm not going to be running, so I'm not going to be using WASD while I'm using those numbers, those keybinds. Now, if I am running, I'm going to be using WASD or Q and E for strafing, and I can instant cast, interrupt, or, you know, drop down AoE nukes with my mouse, so I can be running with my left hand and then using the mouse to adjust the camera and place down an AoE. Like, as soon as I stop, this is where I'm going to place my AoE because I'm using the mouse to point it there. And bam. So it works for me. And I've introduced a few people, per Hen's recommendation, of course, this method. And most of the people that I've introduced this method to, per Hen's recommendation, said that they found it to work really well, because when you have to move, you're using WASD and your mouse can do other things. And then when you're main casting spells, you're just sitting there using the buttons, and you might be turning the camera around to check for mobs or patrols or whatever, while you can still hit your, you know, main rotation spells. So that's, I mean, I know this isn't, we could probably really go into it, but I think we probably did, to be honest.
Yeah. I actually linked a video of on Twitter a couple of days ago. Preach does a little, just did a couple of days ago, a whole keybind segment, and he does a split screen of him tanking a run, and then in the bottom of the corner you see his mouse and his keyboard and what he's doing. Cool. and he talks you through the entire keybind process and what it is and why it's efficient and why it works. And it's you know, I don't want to get into my broke crush on Preach again, but it makes sense. You know, like Hoof is saying, these things are, we do them because it's the most efficient way, or, you know, or because it's tried a different way and that didn't work, or, you know, and like you're talking about, across the board, you know, I, no matter what tune I'm on, this is my interrupt, so it's natural for me. I always hit that front trigger on my thumb. That's always my interrupt, and I'm always ready to go on that. And so it just,
that's funny for me, it's the back trigger.
Well, in my, and even on some of my other guys, my AoE is always on, you know, this key, you know, whether, you know, whether it's my swipe or my or, you know, Howling Blast or Whirlwind, whatever it is, you know, that's where my AoE is always at. So it does, whether I'm DPSing or healing, it has or tanking, no matter what it is, you kind of have that fluidness where you just know what you're going to do. You don't have to relearn every time you're switching tunes or whatever.
That just reminded me, on this comes back from Burning Crusade days, I actually have a mouse over focus macro bound to one of my mouse buttons. So, and it like I said, it's back from my Burning Crusade days when I was playing the mage a ton. And I was a super crowd control freak. And so while I'm DPSing, I would look for something and I would just hit the button on my mouse while targeting over something I wanted to crowd control, and it would automatically focus it. And then I would hit my polymorph hotkey. And
Well, and two, even if you're running around doing stuff, I know even in, what was it, ZA a little bit, there were a couple of those. We had the like second to the last boss, you wanted to try and CC those two guys up there, and it was like you could mouse over macro real quick and or mouse over focus, and regardless of who had it CC'd, whether it was me or if I were tanking, I could focus that guy real quick, and I could see he's got 12 seconds left on that ice block, or you know whatever it was, and I would know to whatever my role was to be prepared, because I'm either going to have to try and CC that guy again, or it's going to break, and I'm going to need to go pick it up or do something with it. So it's that mouse over focus is super cool for all kinds of reasons.
Yeah, I've got even, the same thing as well.
No matter what role I'm in, I always find myself focusing things that I think might be problematic. Even if say there's two groups of mobs close together, I might focus a dude from the other group, like just one pull away, just to keep a tabs on it in case my camera, you know, when you're tanking, sometimes you get some really jacked up angles and
somebody will pull it and you won't realize it.
Yeah. So yeah, I can see what's going. Yeah. It just gives you more visibility.
Yeah. Well, in most tanking classes a lot of classes have a ranged interrupt, and you can see, especially if you're tanking, you know, that caster over there is going to be a pain. So I'll know as soon as he starts casting, I'm going to interrupt him, and he's going to come running over to the rest of the group with me. So I'll be ready to go on that. You know, so there's a lot of really, which actually just made me think of a question, which has nothing to do with anything. Hoof, do you know if Guardian's Feral Fairy Fire, if that interrupts? Because I read that there was a glyph that made that into a ranged interrupt now.
No, that spell doesn't exist anymore. It's just fairy fire now. Yes. Well, I had to rewrite my macros because I had.
Does it interrupt though?
There is a glyph.
You can saying that you can glyph it to interrupt. I'm like, a ranged interrupt for a bear, it would be ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know if you can. I don't know if it'll work for cat. I would probably be more inclined to use it in feral spec than guardian spec. The reason why, although it's tempting, it's very tempting, but I've gone without it for so long that I almost don't need it anymore, because I have a super habit of pulling everything to the ranged person anyway, and the range of the first person I kill. But the primary reason why I haven't glyphed for that yet is Fairy Fire has a chance to refresh your mangle. So it's on a 5-second cooldown, your mangle's on a 6-second cooldown. So every now and then you can, and I have it macroed to maul. So if I'm in range of something, it'll maul and fairy fire at the same time. If I'm not, it'll just fairy fire. So it's a nice way to, like, while I'm running, my maul is my fairy fire. If I just want to hit something far away and just aggro it on purpose, without actually having to use maul. But anyway, aside from the point, if you glyph it to do an interrupt, it increases the cooldown of fairy fire to 15 seconds. So I want to say that it's a 25% chance that it will refresh your mangle, and thrash, lacerate, and fairy fire have the chance to refresh your mangle cooldown. So between each of those things, you know, it's nice to get those mangles up, because generating rage doesn't work the way it used to. So,
so you need to mangle,
So that's the only reason why I haven't done it yet, was for that extra, chance to refresh mangle.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I know bears are pretty mobile right behind, warriors. So I don't know if that was something that was a big deal or not, but I thought a ranged interrupt sounded really cool though.
Oh, we're mobile again. Thank goodness. I think it was in Cataclysm. I don't remember if it was a patch in the middle of it or if it was just at Cataclysm where they said shifting will no longer take you out of roots, because we always were able to get out of roots that way.
Yeah.
And now they've brought that back in. So shifting will remove snares and break you out of roots. So that has been very helpful in keeping up that mobility. So I haven't really That's why I haven't used that glyph yet. But I might. I might, just depending on the situation. All right, well...
That was my random question.
Wow. Okay. That was a question from Rob of Deathwing.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So we're going to move on to something a little hotter and greasier. Sexy fried chicken dance.
Fried chicken.
Sounds delish.
All right. Sorry to mislead you. This email has nothing to do with sexy fried chicken dances. That is a bummer, unfortunately. But now that I have your attention, hi, guys. I love listening to your show. It reminds me of sitting in Mumble or Vent and listening to the guildies when I grind quests or rep. That way I don't die of boredom. My question for y'all is, when creating a new character or even your past characters, what inspiration do you or did you gather when selecting your race, class, and most specifically... the name? I love hearing what people name their characters after, like lore, pop culture, or even naming it after a special someone. I hope you haven't answered this before, because I haven't gotten to listen to all the episodes yet. I look forward to your answer. Rebel Fleur Decour. Tank That Reb. That's Tank That Reb on Twitter. She's got a YouTube channel with some amusing videos. You should check that out. Well, I had several characters. My first character was just a random name that I had been using a long time ago when we used to do pen and paper Dungeons and Dragons. I would always have a character named Jundar that was, it would just pop in and cause trouble, or just like anytime my players were doing something that I didn't really want them to do, I might throw that guy in there just to cause trouble and steer them the way I wanted to, or just put them in a really awkward situation. Who knows? So that was my first character. The race was Tauren, because I'm a Taurus, and Tauren are awesome, and Minotaurs are cool too. And my first character was a shaman. It would have been a druid, except there was about four other people that said they were also going to be druids when we first started playing. So I said, well, I don't want to be whatever. So shaman was my second pick, but I don't know, maybe it's a good thing I didn't do druid right away, because in vanilla they were kind of only for healing and I really like tanking. So I know we did answer this on a previous episode, we kind of went into it, so I just kind of grazed over that real quick. I have several other characters that were named after one of my favorite role-playing video games, Xenogears, and so I had a few named after that too, but yeah, nothing. Hoofit was just because I had planned to run around all day and never have a mount, because I'd never played an MMO before. I had no idea that there would be expansions or anything like that, and I thought, man, I could just hoof it everywhere with this cheetah form.
That still cracks me up.
Sure. You're not the only one either. There's a bunch of, if you look on the armory.
Good stuff. Well,
I don't know if you guys Jimi Hendrix for hand, and Rob is hot pox because he was a DK and was a hot little goblin chick, and so it was a hot chicken pox or something.
That's
what it was in my head. All right, that's all.
He didn't pick up that name until he made the
race change.
Yeah, the race and sex change.
You were hot pox as a woman, female goblin.
I was Death Flicker as a female goblin.
No, and you weren't.
Yep.
Nice. Yep. Are you kidding me?
Yep, Death Flicker.
I swear it was the girl. That's why I thought it was so funny. I'm like, that's awesome. That's really cool.
And actually, I was going to do Blood Elf. A blood elf female, but for some reason when I was doing the change, I didn't have an orc that I liked, so I went with orc, and I thought the whole pox thing with, like, you know, diseases and all that stuff, and somehow turned into hot pox.
Ah, that is so freaky. I swear, because I have a really good memory, you know.
Super good. Clearly.
It was the female goblin named Hot Pucks.
Dude,
it makes the most sense.
It does, but I'm telling you, it was Death Flicker, because Dave was Death Requiem, and for some reason.
Oh, that's right, Dave.
And yeah. I got stuck. I couldn't come up with anything, and you were like, and I rolled that Death Knight, and you made me some bags, and you were basically like, dude, I don't know, have fun with your Death Knight. I'm not a fan. And then, yeah, that's history.
And then you proceeded to just kill it with your Death Knight. I still hate Death Knights, yep. But I like yours.
Well, mine's the exception. Huh? Well, I don't know that with
I hate Death Knights. I like Hot Pox.
Some of the changes, though, now being able to glyph your Death Grip to where it doesn't taunt, you know, stuff like that. I think it's gonna be a little bit easier. But yeah, the whole I don't even care about the whole hero class thing. I think you could really kick butt with any class that you want. So.
Oh man, there was a website that used to tell you like how many times you had been on a dungeon or a raid or whatever. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's out of commission now. But it would have this big old summary. And in Wrath, man, I had, except for the new dungeons that had come out, I had over 100 of every single five man that there was, except for the ICC five mans, because they had come out towards the end. And they would, I used to random so much. I mean, I had the perky pug pet the first day. Anyway, but you'd get into a random pug. I'd be trying to tank. There'd be three DKs and a healer, and you got three idiots popping army of the dead. Idiots just death gripping things away from you, and I'm like, I hate you all.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I was you know what was funny? When I got into Outlands on my warrior, that was the last night or the night before, I was grouped up with Abby, and I was like, this is gonna suck. And we were talking, she's like, why? Because, man, this is where Death Knights start coming into the dungeons, and she has this whole macro made up, this whole like big macro that yells at people. It's like, get out of Blood Presence, don't use your Death Grip unless you have a glyph. It's like this macro she just spams at them if there's a Death Knight in there.
Oh, I will not heal Death Knights of the world, man. She's just spouting it out at every DK. You're an idiot until you show me otherwise.
If you pull, I will not heal you. Like, it's like tearing it up. But yeah, it's bittersweet, you know, because it's like you get so much dropped in your lap at once, and it is all very, very powerful stuff that people just don't even know what they're doing with it, and it's ridiculous. But
yeah, well, in Wrath, DKs were a lot. I mean, Army of the Dead. You basically couldn't tank if even one DK popped it. And when you got two or three, it's like, okay, I'm just gonna chill out over here and
wake me up when you guys are done.
Maybe I'll tranquility or something.
I remember that. Tanking on my paladin and I had that happen. I didn't know what was going on because I never rolled. First time I rolled a DK was halfway through Cataclysm. But yeah, the first Death Knight that Grant popped that on me, oh my god. I couldn't believe it. I think it was... Yeah, it was a Gundrak. The last boss in Gundrak, someone popped that. Oh, my God. It was horrible. I can't imagine three. I feel for you. Having it just happen once.
It's kind of annoying. I mean, there's a glyph for it now that you can pop it and they won't taunt, I think. But it's still kind of annoying. Like, on the last boss of Hour of Twilight, that Archbishop guy, you know? You got to move him out of the poop and if there's Army of the Dead pulling on him, then you're still kind of fighting with it a little bit. So
right, because he'll drop those spots on the ground, and you got to interrupt him, so he'll walk out of it. And
yeah. So
unless you've got all ranged in your group, then it doesn't matter.
Still stupid. Yeah.
Okay, we should get back on topic here. little tangent.
Whoops. Man. Sorry, right, Rebel.
Okay.
Wait, did you hand? Did you well?
Yeah. Well, I'm a shaman because I was in the closed beta, so I tried shaman on the horde side and paladins on the alliance side. I like shaman better than paladins, so I went horde and rolled a shaman. That was the main reason there. And yeah, like Taylor had mentioned, Hend is short for Hendrixian, and all my alts generally have the three letters END in them. Like, my priest is Mend. I think my druid is Lender. My paladin is Spendori. So that's kind of my naming convention that I've gone with. Short and sweet.
Mine Spendori, whatever, because he's to buy stuff for his wife all the time.
Yeah, that's what it was. Spender. No, it's a female character, so I Spender. That's what it was.
Because she is a
So my name is
mine are just whatever mood I'm in, because some of mine are just like the stupidest names. So I don't even know some of them. I'm surprised I haven't got reported for
some of them. But
my hunter. But I've been playing over on Wormrest Accord a little bit, and I know that's an RP server, so I've actually been trying to do a little more legit names. I know I have a priest over there named Ermagerd, but yeah, it just depends on what kind of mood I'm in. I did the Dr. Rard and the Dr. Shard for my warlock, and yeah, I don't know. It just you kind of, after a while, it just depends. So let's do it. All right, we're I think we've given plenty of time on this one. Let me get on to this next question here. It says, "Hey guys, love the show. I don't think this would take up the entire show, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on the comparison of DPS versus damage done in add-ons such as Recount. I'm a firm believer in damage done over actual DPS in any situation, trash, bosses, or whatever. I know most people think that this is a no-brainer, but I run into people every day who look at the DPS over actual damage done, and I have yet to understand why. At the very least, I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, and who knows, maybe in a few listeners may come to understand the difference between the two and why you should rely on one over the other. Or not. This could be a terrible idea, so my feelings aren't hurt if you don't use it. Keep up the good word, thanks. Ovin Call, Human DK on Silvermoon, or MBallSub on Twitter." We did a full episode on this, in fact. We did episode 3 was our meters, bow beaters, where we coined the whole damage meter douchebag term, where we went into it at great length. But yes, it is exactly what you're talking about here. DPS versus damage. You know, we talked about people who go in and bust all their cooldowns and run it up to 60, 70, 80, 100 DK DPS, but contribute nothing to the fight at all. They don't add any utility. They don't help with ranged or casters or crowd control or anything like that. They just get in and pad the meters and don't do anything for the group. But yeah,
why do they do so much on this?
Because it's cool.
It's probably because they hear people say in trade or they see somewhere online that says you need to do 25,000 DPS or 30,000 or sustained or whatever it is for whatever point in the expansion or version of the game you're in. They hear a number, and it's a damage per second number. And so they see that number, and that's what they focus on. The overall damage is very important, and it assumes that you're sustaining that damage per second and actually contributing damage. That's what I think the problem is the people that are not in the know are just, they download a damage meter because they heard you should be doing this much damage per second, and they see themselves doing that much damage per second, but they don't actually see themselves doing any damage because they're on damage per second and not total damage on the meter. So that's the only thing I can think of is why that happens. And that's unfortunate. But mostly, if I ever see somebody linking damage per second, I ask them to, you know, hey, that's great, but you should link the overall damage, which in most add-ons, if you link the overall damage, the total damage, it'll have the DPS in parentheses, and then so you'll still see your actual damage per second, but then you'll also see your total damage contribution to the fight or to the instance or to the raid or whatever. So that, I just kindly offer to tell people how to see that one, which gives them, I phrase it, it gives you more information because you can see damage per second and your contribution to the group. And
it doesn't matter if you're doing 60K DPS on trash if you're doing 2% of the overall damage. You know, that's it.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. We've talked about there's a lot more to bring to the group than just DPS, even if you are a DPS role. There's fights like Queen Ashara on Well of Eternity where if the interrupt doesn't happen, you will wipe. It doesn't matter. You can get through that fight with people doing 5k DPS. Like, the whole group could be doing subpar DPS, and you'll be fine so long as the mechanic gets done properly. And that has nothing to do with your damage output. That has to do with doing the right thing at the right time. So, yeah, the whole focus on damage meters thing, there's a time and a place for it. And in our guild runs, we're very competitive. You know, we like to get in there and see how much we can do on trash and blow your cooldowns just to see how high you can get that number. But we also know, you know, there's things that need to get taken care of that sometimes have nothing to do with damage.
Yeah, yeah. We are competitive on interrupts. We're competitive on dispels. I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah. If there's a place where you can be first or second in, we compete for it.
Oh yeah, for sure. But DPS also has its place too, because it's when you have hard enrage timers, like, that's where DPS is useful. Knowing, but it's also on the assumption, like you guys were saying, sustained. So you need to sustain 25,000 DPS, like, and everyone in the raid has to at least have a minimum 25,000 DPS, or we're not going to beat this boss by the enrage timer, and we're going to wipe. So it does have its place. Fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Altraxian, like,
this is a DPS check. Can you do it? Then, yeah. Do it. You know, bring it.
But also, it's got to be sustained. Like, yeah, we're not saying burst for 5 seconds. Yeah, I'm sure you can get great DPS there. But yes, so it does have its place. You need to know the difference where overall damage is important and where, yes, DPS is important. But always, DPS is always important when talking about sustained. You know, you should never talk about burst. It should always be sustained DPS when you're talking about DPS.
Yeah, so we did that whole episode. It was episode number 3. We even talked about Skada versus Recount and, you know, some other alternatives and probably a dozen different things that you can look for in there. Not just DPS, but all kinds of things that were very, very, very useful in terms of measuring the success of your group.
Including an awesome segment on World of Logs, too. That was stellar. Fantastic.
What was that? Was that episode 3?
That was fantastic-y.
Yeah, that wasn't dry at all. Dude, that was high quality. Oh, that was amazing.
I had to pause, not because of it was Hen's sweet voice. I just couldn't. If I listened to it for too long in a row without taking a break, I might have lost control. So,
exactly.
Drifted away into sweet bliss.
All right. Next question. We got this one from Twitter from Chazzy Chaz Fan.
He says, Chazzy Chan people... and the Funky Bunch?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry.
What do people do to prepare for Mists? I made a little collection of potions and quick enchants to bring for leveling, and I wrote a note to make sure the first thing I do at midnight is grab Zen level gathering. And he also asks, so what are you looking forward to most next week? Personally, I'm excited about the new stuff I can make with an alchemist and herbalism. Most excited for next week is just to start doing something other than Dragon Soul. We did that for so long. I'm glad we have not raided the last 2 weeks.
9 months, man.
I know.
I'm pretty sure I took every one of my alts on our server through there at this point.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm looking forward to something new. As for preparation, I haven't done much other than clean out my banks a bit. That's about all I figure I need to do right now. I'll worry about it as I get to... As it gets here, I'll... Maybe worried about a bit more, but I think that's all I need to do for now. How about you guys?
Well, for cleaning out bag space is a good idea. If you've got a bank alt or something, now's a good time to shift all of your auction housing to that character, because when you're leveling your main character, you're going to want that extra bag space. Well, I guess it just depends on how you're going to be leveling. If you're very casual leveler, and by casual I just mean you're taking your time, you're not worried, you don't have a goal to hit level cap, you're just doing it because you like it, just roaming around doing your thing.
And your robe.
Yeah, sure. I have a goal, so I am going to be trying to optimize the bag space that I have so that I have to visit or vendor as little as possible, so that I can just jump straight from quest to quest. I'm not worried about professions. I will be probably selling, well, I won't be selling enchanting stuff, but I will be, most of the stuff I'll be selling right off the get-go, because I'll be able to buy it back at a third the price a month or two after Mists has been out.
You're talking about mats in terms of like enchanting materials, herbalism, mining, right? Profession stuff, right?
Right. But I actually, because enchanting's a pain in the butt, unless it's going to be easier in Mists, enchanting's a pain to level. So I actually don't get rid of any enchanting materials. I save everything so that I can get that leveled up as quickly as possible, so that I can, if any of our raid, anybody in the guild needs an enchant, I have the skill level and I'm at the appropriate, I'm maxed out on that. It's so hard to get enchanting mats. I'm sure I could sell them for a ton, but because most, a lot of times, Hen especially, Daryl sends me greens all the time for disenchanting. Even now, I still find myself running short on enchanting mats, and I don't sell any enchanting mats. I just save them for guild enchants, and I always find myself running short on essence.
That stuff is useful from start to finish in an expansion.
Yeah.
Like the enchanting stuff from the moment Kata dropped to this very day. Enchanting materials are still useful. I think that's one of the few exceptions to stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, like herbs, skins, all of that stuff, that'll come second. So, but like skinning's on my alt and all that. But yeah, I actually have two enchanters so that my second enchanter can disenchant quest items and send them to my main enchanter. And I still usually don't end up having enough.
Yeah.
I still usually don't end up having enough materials to level all the way to max.
Jeez. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, but yeah, other than that, I'm not doing a whole lot of preparing. I'm not too worried about potions or, as far as enchants go. I mean, my main Hoofit is an enchanter, so I just enchant my stuff as I go along. Because usually you can self-enchant fairly cheap. There's some pretty good budget stuff. But, mostly it's just going to be making sure I have bag space. Because what I've learned in the past is almost everything you have right now is going to be almost irrelevant in the next expansion. It'll be useful for a little bit, just a tiny bit. I know there was a couple of old enchants back in the day that it was in Wrath, where there were still some Burning Crusade enchants that were preferable over something else. I want to say it was like a 120 agility to weapon or something for Feral Druids. I can't remember. So, I mean, there are still times where having, old stuff is good. But, yeah, for me...
Yeah, I think the Kata enchants are still going to be good for a little while, until you get to those endgame patterns again, so...
Yeah. And just, I mean, I don't, I wouldn't say, okay, let me enchant that piece of quest upgrade gear for you that you're going to upgrade in two quests from now. But, right. But maybe, once you're hitting heroics or maybe even entry level rating, if we don't have the current stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. Are you actually doing any preparing, Rob, with your army of alts?
So here's the thing that I've been hearing a lot of, and I'm not going to know exactly what my options are until it happens, but with the whole profession thing now, going to those modes of harmony and whatnot, and basically you're not going to be able to feed your alts like you have been previously. That's just the way I understand it. So if I'm wrong...
You're not going to be able to?
Not... I mean, probably to a point. I mean, of course, you can send BOE stuff over to your enchanter to dust it. But in terms of crafting and actually some of the recipes, I think they're going to require these motes or these harmony deals that are only going to be available to that tune. So you aren't going to be able to pick those up on other tunes and send them over. So, again, this goes to me just still being undecided on what on my main moving forward. So the only preparation I've done, like you guys said, is a little bit of cleanup. I'm selling some older mats that I don't need anymore, and just kind of spending my time. You know, there's no real gear that I need on any of my tunes, really. I mean, everyone's raid geared to some degree, so they're ready to go. So it's just a matter of waiting for it to happen and seeing at that point, you know, how quickly I hit level 90 and how things go from there, you know, depending on how these harmony things work and depending on what tune I decide to go with. You know, there's not a whole lot of preparation at this point. You know, I know we talked about preparation in a previous episode, but that was a little more in terms of making money and and so yeah, not a whole lot. It's mostly biding my time. I've been, you know, doing the alt thing and stuff. So, right. And yeah.
Well, next we've got the question of the week. That's what Mochi DK says. He says, "Okay, I went to try the new Theramore scenario and discovered to my dismay, my item level was too low. My Blood DK is item level 344, and my Shadow Priest is 314." Never having been much of a raider or dungeon crawler, I have not gotten the gear, I guess, to reach the necessary level. What recommendation do you have for a person trying to gain necessary levels in a short period of time to be able to take part in the raid? I think it means the scenario.
Yeah, well, thanks, anything really at Mochi this point. DK, yeah.
Earthen Ring AIE. For the Horde! That's the most important part right there.
Yeah, yeah.
You betcha.
Well, okay, so if you're not a raider, if you're not even going to do Raid Finder, then you're going to be missing out on some pretty good gear. If you're not doing dungeon crawling, like the five-man heroics, then you're still going to be missing out on quite a bit of gear. So, I'm not really sure how you can get up there other than either... You didn't say that you're not a moneymaker, so technically you could buy any of the bind on equip item level 397 gears, which there's bracers, boots.
Yeah, there's a lot of random like belts and weird like raid drops that are BOE as well, and those tend to be a little more pricey, but yeah.
Yeah, but for the ones that cost now they're justice points now. Those might be going for, you know, fairly cheap considering what they used to go for. Mm-hmm. You might be able to bump your item level up with a few purchased goods if you're not going to do dungeons or raids to either earn the points or get the gear drops from those. Because questing, I don't think you're going to get much higher than item level 333 from straight up quests or even non-heroic dungeons.
Nope, I think everything outside of heroics is kind of that 333 max at this point. Wait, no, you could do like the Molten Front and get some of that 365 stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's true.
But that's there's only a couple of pieces here and there.
So you get a cape from doing the Thrall quest from the different. I mean, but that's gonna take. He said he wants to do it in a short amount of time. So if he hasn't gotten the Molten Front dailies done yet, that's gonna be a long time.
Yeah, that's like a 3 week, almost a month grind just to open one vendor.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's a long time.
377 PvP blues.
Yep,
that's crafted, your best bet.
Crafted gear on the auction house. Unless you can make it yourself. Yep.
Crafted I don't know PvP if you, blues are 377. And
if you go ahead.
But yeah, I've used those myself to get into to skirt the item level, just to get into the Hour of Twilight sooner, that kind of stuff. So
Yeah, if you're looking for fast,
yeah,
because you know, this is coming from somebody who hits 85 and within 10 minutes is in our Twilight Dungeons. If you're looking for fast, exactly it. You know, feed yourself with an alt. You can buy the 397 bracers and boots, or somebody in the guild, or you know, or off the auction house, and that 377 PvP gear. You can almost get into Raid Finder within a few minutes. Now that's fast, and it can be expensive depending on your server. You know, some of that PvP gear people want like an arm and a leg for, but if you have time, you know, by the time you get to Kata, Lich King and Kata, you start accumulating justice points. So you can even start looking at where you want to spend those too. So there's right, always a.
He's got a couple days until Mists of Pandaria comes out, and then
it's all gonna be irrelevant. Yep.
Yeah, Theramore's gonna bump back up to level 90, so he needs to reach this before Tuesday. So yeah, I would say if you want to run it to see it, it's not a hard scenario. It's not you. We did it without a healer. We did it with 3 DPS, and it's a little slower because you have to be a little more careful. Because if you do round up everything up, you can die. But it's if you pull it one group at a time, there's no way. I shouldn't say there's no way because there are some people that will, but it's very easy. It's made to be done without a tank or a healer, so you can do it. You might have to use your own heals if you're
right.
Maybe you're not a healing spec, but maybe you have a healing spell. You still need to use it.
Like a shadow. He's talking about a shadow priest. You can still throw out heals. You know, you can.
Yep. Or your blood DK. You can still use self heals. You know, here and there. But yeah, if you just want to get in to see it before it bumps back up to level 90. You might want to just invest in some PvP blues. I know I hate saying that because I it would frustrate me when other people would do it. If you're getting in there just to see it once, that's fine. If you're getting in there and you're going to upgrade out of it fast, it doesn't sound like you're the kind of person that will. But, you know, that's the only way to do it. If you're not a raider and you don't do dungeons, I don't really know how else you can do that in a couple of days before it goes up to level 90.
All right, so here's what I'm looking at. I just looked up his DK on the armory real quick. He's clearly done the Molten Front stuff. He's got a bunch of 365 gear. But I'm also looking, there's several low pieces. You know, he's got a 318 axe right now. You could quest and get a 333 there. You know, I see a lot of still low level greens. Your helmet, your shoulders, those are 318. Grab the PvP ones off the auction house. You need what, 6, 7, 8 item levels to get into
one
there
of those
before.
Will put them over probably.
Yep, exactly. You know, replace that axe. You could probably pick one up on the auction house if you wanted for a decent price at this point, or the
Crucible of Carnage and get a weapon out of that thing.
Yeah, so you have a couple of key pieces that could easily be replaced that will at least put your Death Knight up over that item level to get you in there. So
cool. Alright, well let's move on.
Alright, let's see. I'm gonna take this one because I got a DM from one of our listeners on Twitter, and he asked if we could asked if we can keep this private. So I'll just read the content of it and we can discuss that a little bit. But it says, I've got a question for the podcast. What advice do you have for someone who looks good on paper but still can't manage to perform well? The question is pretty much a general question. Because
Hold up. You said this was a woman?
I believe so.
She looks good on paper?
But she can't perform well.
What magazine were you reading when you supposedly got this DM? Oh, never mind. I'm sorry.
It was Wow Weekly.
It was Wow Wrestler or something?
This is I'm going to edit it a little bit because it was more conversational. So the way I'm going to just read through this is a little more what she's asking. So the question is general. I don't have a proper DPS character at the moment since I dropped balance. When I had balance, I did about 5 to 6k less DPS than I should have given the correct rotation gear, etc. Perhaps this was a concentration level My DPS is the reason I mainly heal, but it's frustrating when you're doing all the right things and you just feel bad. I've tried every level 85 character I own. I have 3 tanks and 4 healers, one of each being a druid and a pally dual spec. So basically, I run into this a couple of times. There are some classes and specs for me that just don't work. Like, I wanted this to work. I liked it. I liked the way it looked. I thought it was cool, but I just couldn't do it. Balance druid is one of those things for me. Like, I tried it. I gave it an honest shot. I went in. I had the 4-piece bonus from raiding and Dragon Soul. I had the right trinkets. I had the right gems and enchants. I did everything, but it was just like, it did not like me, and I just couldn't do it. So for me personally, the way that this game is now and how friendly it is gives you the opportunity to try out so many different things. So if balance just doesn't work for you and you feel like you've given it a shot and you're just, it's just not clicking, try something else. Try feral kitty, try kitty druid. I mean, you mentioned having several different tunes. I know, you know, each tank has a DPS off spec. I don't do try a, you know, try a melee DPS, try a, you know, there's so many different things.
I think we can vouch for
do.
the X balance druid going feral. We've had an experience with that, you know, where
yeah, with more than
didn't
one
want to try it out. Didn't yep. want. Oh, I suck at melee. I can't do melee. I just can't do melee. We're like, do it. Just try it. We're like, you know, you keep telling us how much you hate balance. Just try kitty. Tried kitty, and it was like, oh my god, this is awesome. So you never know. It might be, you just. You know,
yeah.
It just might not work with you. But I'd like to just say, it could be, it might not be. Maybe the rotation. Maybe it's your reaction time. I don't know because it wasn't mentioned in this. But it could be, you know, do you play with the arrow keys? You know, are you a quote unquote keyboard turner and you know, do you click your spells, that kind of thing. There are a lot, I mean, obviously Rob is not that, but even he was having problems with balance for him. And personally, I hate balance as well. I did it right.
And I actually, you know, I would say I did better than average with it, but kind of like she's saying here, it just wasn't working. I had everything down. It just, you know, maybe you just don't like it or it didn't click. Or like I said, I wanted to like it. I thought it was cool, man. I'm like, yeah, crit chicken. Oh, this is a pain. You know, I don't even, you know, it's totally not worth it. But, you know, try something different. I don't know. Try, right. You know.
Well, yeah, but her question is what can – I know we can, that's the easy suggestion, but I want to try to at least try to answer her question is what can she do?
If she wants to try to continue on in balance.
Right.
Is that what you're,
so,
yeah, okay.
Yeah. So the couple things you want to look at, is it normal for you to be 5 or 6 K less, you know, do you often run into other balanced druids that are killing it and you're just not, or do you notice pretty straight across the board that you're falling in line with other balanced druids pretty regularly, and then maybe once in a while there's a freak in nature that's just blowing people out of the water no matter what he does. You probably got talk in a random
yeah. crap green gear and he's out.
Yeah, 318 greens.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I still have my item level 10 gear on from when I started this tune, but I might only pull 80,000. Sorry guys.
Yeah, there are those anomalies out there, and we talked about a couple of guys that we know. But yeah, here one thing that I've done, and I've done this in every spec: you go into a 5-man or a raid finder group, and if you see one person that is just like jaw dropping, killing it, whisper them. What's going on? What are you doing? You know, because sometimes you look at them and they're like fully heroic raid geared, and you're like, okay, this guy just knows what he's doing. But sometimes it's just an average Joe that's just kicking butt. And you whisper them and say, man, you're awesome. What's going on? And 9 times out of 10, they'll say, okay, we'll keep this up. Do this, this, and this. And maybe there's the 1 or 2 things that you just, oh, I didn't realize that. Or, you know, oh, I was putting this up. And, I, you know, I was, you know, the balance thing about getting in the eclipse and this and, you know, and holding off before you use your treants. And, you know, there's so many nuances that talking to somebody who is successful with it is a lot of times eye-opening.
Yeah, sometimes it is a little more. Sometimes you have to know a little bit more than what you're doing. You have to know why you're doing it. Yeah. Because knowing why, if you know that you're supposed to hit this button, and this button in this order, but maybe there's a timing to it where you want to hit 1, 2 and then wait and then hit 3, or maybe you want to hit 1, 2, 3, or, you know, there might be a little bit more than just hitting the exact correct order of things. It could be a little bit more involved in that. But I would say, I mean, if you're still competitive, if you're not a hindrance and you like playing balance, keep playing balance.
Yeah, really.
If you're a raid group or, you know, whatever kind of group you're in, if it doesn't matter, then don't worry about it. You know, if Blizzard confirms, you know, this is what, you know, this is, you see it every expansion where they'll show a list of, you know, they'll read some data mining stuff that'll show, you know, mages are doing this much, warlocks are doing this much, and they'll have a, you know, a number. Somebody is always going to be at the top and somebody's always going to be at the bottom, even if it's only a 1 point difference. And really the discrepancy is, most of the time, it's pretty low unless you're comparing the top to the bottom. You know, if you remove everybody else in between, then there might be a larger discrepancy there. But I'm assuming you're doing 5,000 to 6,000 DPS less than another balanced druid in equal gear. So if you are, then it is something that you're probably missing. It's probably it's been 2 years since I even touched balance, because I didn't touch it in Kata at all, because I hated it so much. And I never want to look at it again. But with any DPS class, I mean, it's like Rob was saying, I always tell people, if you're in a group with someone, maybe you're on an alt, but you see someone else in this, your main spec that's playing in your group, and you see them just really kicking butt, pay attention to what they're doing. Notice if they're, you know, they could be switching up their entire gameplay depending on the type of pull. You know, you can't use one rotation for everything. You have to switch if it's AoE, if it's single target, or if it's quick die. You know, if the AoE are not elites, if they're all just normal trash that's going to die even faster, then you have to change it up again. You have to adapt constantly to the type of group you're in. And lastly, try not to look at overall meters. Try to look at specifically, maybe just on boss fights. You know, maybe because trash, if nobody's dying on trash, it doesn't matter what DPS you're doing.
Right.
The real money makers are killing the bosses. So concentrate on the bosses and what you're doing on the bosses. And are other ranged having problems? Are other balanced druids having problems? Are they equally geared? And if they are, then try to compare, you know, break it down even further. What are their top abilities? What's their damage looking like? And if they're not in sync with yours, then ask them, what are they doing? Are they doing one silly little thing that you might have missed, a proc or a trinket or a cool, you know, it's some cooldown that you didn't think about using, anything to give you that edge. Because if you're reforged properly, if you've got all that stuff figured out, there's gotta be a reason to make up for that 5 or 6K. It's either gear or something you're doing, and you just got to figure out which one it is and then work on it from there. Woo! Sorry, I went on for a while on that one. Jeez.
Oh, yep. Just
that was supposed to be Rob's.
Well, no, and the one thing that you said that rang true too was that you may know what to do. You know, Noxic or Icy Veins or whatever may tell you what to do, but there is definitely, for every single class, there's a nuance in how to do it. Like you said, whether, you know, with balance, you know, you need to wait until the eclipse happens and then fire off that whatever, you know, because if you do it beforehand, it doesn't crit. But if you wait until after this, then it'll crit. And, you know, that stuff makes all the difference in the world. So you may be doing the rotation right. Like you said, on paper, you may be doing things in the right order. But there may be some key stuff that you just you don't know until you ask people or watch some watch some preach videos or.
It might also help if on paper it's a foldout as well. All right, I'm sorry. Let's move on. Let's go.
All right, from Facebook we have. Tim, who says, what are your recommendations on how to start figuring out which things you'd want to craft to make some money on the auction hall? I'm not talking about doing the big business, but rather learning to use the options you got. For me, it's often confusing to figure out which mats come from which professions and what people might want to buy. I'm going to throw this to you, Taylor, because you are the auction king between the three of us.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Honestly, I don't craft a whole lot of stuff, and I've got I'm getting close to 600,000 gold, and I'm not even trying to make money at the moment. I just put stuff up there whenever I need to and whatever. But I mean, most of the time I just put random stuff up there, or I haven't actually played the auction house for a while. So it's kind of hard to answer this question. I don't think when it comes to crafting, you either have to be the first person with that pattern or enchant or whatever when people want it. You know, if let's say there's a weapon enchant that takes some crazy rep grind and it's quite an effort to unlock it, and then you get it. There's not a whole lot of people on the server that have it yet, so people are paying big money to get that enchant, whether you provide the materials or they provide you the materials and tip you huge or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's where it's the hardest part is exactly what he's saying. What do people want to buy?
So when those 365 craftable weapons came out of the Molten Front, the gun and that pole arm or whatever it was, and there was tanking two-handed sword, there's a bunch of 365 gear before Firelands was really accessible. That stuff was going for, those weapons and everything were going for like 20,000, 30,000 a piece.
Yeah.
And like,
now here's the other thing. So you have access, everybody has access to patch notes. Anytime there's a patch notes coming out, if you're interested in doing the auction house, scroll down to the very bottom, wherever it is, where it says professions. Or maybe even MMO Champion will have they'll have like a list of gear that's coming out in the next content release. All it takes is click on a link or look it up in Wowhead, and it's going to tell you what profession does it and what materials it takes to make that item. So if you look on Wowhead, I'm going to use this as an example. So you've got the I'm going to call it the Feral Druid Polearm craftable from the pattern from, what was it? The Hyjal, the Molten Front dailies. That's right.
Yeah.
So you got the pattern from the Molten Front dailies. Yeah. So already you had to do a bunch of stuff before you could even get it. That makes it hard to get. You could look at this two ways. You could either have a blacksmith that could make the polearm, or you could have a miner that can gather the materials that's going to be used to make the polearm, or an alchemist to make the true gold bars or whatever it was. All it takes is for you to look up on Wowhead that weapon, and it tells you the base materials that you need. And then you could, if a base material is made up of other base materials, you can even click on that and it'll break it down even further. Point is, if you know new stuff is coming, this is going to be new gear, and people will comment either on any forum. They'll comment on MMO, they'll comment on Wowhead, they'll comment on the item, and they'll say, this is going to be the best, this is going to be awesome for, getting into Firelands. This is going to be what you want to get until you can get something better. You just have to do a little bit of reading, a little bit of research, and it all starts at the patch notes or any information source that tells you what's coming out the next patch. If you're talking about craftables on the auction house, so even if you don't have a blacksmith or don't have a tailor or leather worker or any of those things, if you have a gatherer that can get any of those things, you can even make a lot of money off the base materials by banking them until the release week of that content patch. So if there's going to be craftables coming out in Mists, I haven't been keeping up with it, but you can plan ahead, sort of, even though you can't really until you get the game, but you can get those mats and save those mats and list those for probably quite a bit of money, so people can have those high level items right off the bat, and because they're going to want them, because they're like we were telling who were we telling? Chazzy Fan? No. Mochi DK. We were telling him, you know, get the crafted PvP gear to bump your item level up so that you can see the Theramore event before it goes to level 90. In the same way that we're suggesting for him to buy some crafted gear to skip ahead level, people are going to be doing the same thing just to get into raiding.
Yeah.
You just got to pay attention. Yep. Craftables on the auction house, that's all you got to do. You just need to
the pay short attention to what's coming out, way.
And then... What's that?
Well, I was going to say the short and easy way, even to break this down even more simple, if you're just looking to make some money on the auction house and you're saying you don't want to do the big business, and we covered this in an earlier episode too, was there's going to be 1 week before the raid is released. There's going to be people that are pushing and kicking and screaming to get to max their professions now, to get all the upgrades now, to get all the patterns now, to do everything now. And if you're not concerned about that, if you're not in a top progression guild trying to get this stuff, then go out there, farm the herbs, mine the ore, and put that stuff up for a ridiculous price, and people will buy it. And that's easy, quick money at the beginning of a patch. And like Hope was saying earlier, you're going to turn around in 3 weeks or a month or whatever, and you're going to be able to buy that stuff right back for a fraction of the price. But these first couple weeks are going to be crucial, and people want that stuff right now. So go out there, farm it, mine it, do whatever, throw it up, and you will make a buttload of money off that.
Yeah, an example... on my leather worker, when Kata came out, I was selling stacks of leather for 400 gold, sometimes 500 gold. I think for 1 week, it was 600 gold a stack of 20. And jeez, people were buying it.
Yep.
Wow.
And now you can buy...
back later and level it up, and it's not a big deal, you know?
Yeah, it really isn't. But some people are so... I don't even know the word for it, but... Because it doesn't matter. They're not gonna need that right away, but they want it right away. So those are the people that you can exploit. Is what you're really about.
Wait, you're what are you? A greedy crap? I can't even remember now. You're a greedy need freak.
Was it? I think that.
A greedy idiot freak. A needy idiot greed freak or something.
Something.
Yeah.
All right. That is our auction house crafting tips of the day. So we had some of our question from our friends over at Darkmoon Herald. We gave Kevin a bunch of macro stuff because we know he likes to hear it. But Opsana has some mouse questions. She has a gaming mouse, and I think we determined that she has a Logitech G500 gaming mouse. Really, it doesn't matter which one you have, but she was asking, how do I get this thing set up? Now, having used several different multi-button mice, they are all exactly... Okay, that's the wrong word. They are all extremely similar in how you set them up.
No, because I bought the G400 and took that thing back in about 30 minutes, so no.
Well, I'm not saying that they're all the same in use, but... They're almost identically.
In theory, they work the same.
Yeah. They come with the software. You install the software. Then you go into that software, and it'll have a picture of your mouse, and it'll have a picture of all the extra buttons that it has, or something like this. And what I recommend is going to each button. Well, okay, so the first thing you should do is determine what keys on your keyboard do you never use, do you never touch. What are things, you know, they're too far out of your reach, or they're, you know, they're keys that are unusable while you're playing. You hear us talking about how we use our 1 through 6 keys for our primary abilities because they're so easily reachable. I actually use my F5 through F12 keys for my mouse because I don't really use those buttons at all. So I have all of those buttons bound to, you know, I've got F5 bound to a button, F6 bound to another one, and so on. And I do all this through the software that came with the mouse. So you go into the software, you tell it, because I think by default, you know, it might be like, this one zooms in on a browser, or this one zooms out, or scrolls up,
yeah,
and down,
or forward,
you know, those
and
types
back,
of things.
Yeah.
So you can go through, and likely each button will have, it'll have an option. Like, you can choose from a list of preset things, or you can go to custom, something like that. And when you go to custom, then it'll have a blank box, and that's when you click in that box and then hit the key that you want to associate with that mouse button. So it's all very visual. It shows you each button and what key you've bound to that button. Now, to associate this in game, what you'll want to do is press escape, and you'll go to your key bindings, and you will look for one of your action bars, let's say. I don't have it up on my screen right now, but it's going to be one of your secondary action bars. I can't remember which is the one directly above your... What's that?
It's bottom left is the one that's right above your 1 through...
The 1 through plus.
Yeah.
Okay. So scroll down until you see bottom left action bar. And basically, you click on bottom left action bar button 1 and click a mouse key that you want to associate with that action bar button. And then the very next one will be bottom left action bar button 2. And then click on that and then hit another mouse key that you want to associate with that one. And then do that, go through each button on your WoW interface key binding section and associate it with a button on your mouse. So now what you'll notice is when you go back into the game, now your bottom left action bar from left to right will have, in this example, it'll have F5, F6, F7, F8, F9, and so on, you know, until you ran out of buttons on your mouse, depending on how many buttons you have. And so all you have to do now is, whether you have a spell out of your spell book or if you wrote a macro, you can just drag it on to the action bar with the F keys on it. And literally, this will work if you press your actual F keys or if you press the associated F key on your mouse in the same way. Because it basically, in your mouse software, you just told it that this button also equals F5, for example. So that's really the easiest way to set it up. And then all it really takes from there on out is moving your, instead of adjusting your key binds to switch where your key binds are, I find it easier just to leave the numbering the way it is and then just move the spells around. So like Rob said, on his forward thumb button on his mouse, he has interrupt. For me, I prefer my rear thumb button for an interrupt.
Your rear
so
thumb
instead
button?
Of the well, there's like
I was
three.
Gonna say I use the same, but not anymore.
What? What did I say?
Your rear thumb button?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I don't use that one.
I'm changing it tonight.
I use that for something else.
I'm just removing it off. I'm just removing it completely. Anyway, so yeah, instead of changing the key binds, just move the spells around on the bar until it's comfortable where you have a button that casts a spell that feels right. It just like placing it on your 1 through 6 keys, you know, if you use key binds like a normal person, you're going to use 1 through 6 or, you know, for your primary key binds, and you're going to know that, you know, it's uncomfortable to have this spell on number 2. It feels right to have it on number 4 instead, or you just have to move them around until it feels right, to where it feels like, I want to say, it feels like you're typing
while
you're playing.
Are you still talking about the rear thumb button?
I am not. I got so distracted.
It feels
I,
right.
I think we need to move to the next topic here.
Oh, God. Oh, go. Somebody go. Take it over. I'm sorry, Apsana. We can talk in private later about that button.
Okay, derailed a little bit.
Big time.
Do you want me to take the next one?
Go, just go, just hurry.
Wow, Martian.
I don't like the way he ended that one either.
Wow, Martian says, what do you prefer, oranges or pineapples? Why does this feel like another rear thumb button question?
Because he hashtagged it with, I made it juicy.
Pineapples.
Orange.
I would have to go with oranges because pineapples are freaking disgusting.
What? You watch your mouth. Grilled pineapple grilled on a burger.
Oh, yeah. God. You know, I'm 98% vegan and I still hate pineapples and I can hardly tolerate oranges, but if I had to pick, I'd go with oranges.
All right.
What's the other two?
Okay, from on Twitter, we have... Night Will asked us, do you have an opinion on Blizzard changing heirloom philosophy without including it in a patch note or a blue post? It used to be they were good or top blues of that level. They were weakened and changed to not be the best. And I asked if it's somewhere between greens and blues, and Night Will responded, yes, Blizzard claims the experience totally makes up for that. And she also sent us a link where she had talked to a GM about that. But in my opinion, I am okay with it. I agree with Blizzard's stance on this, if this is indeed what they're doing. Yes, the XP bonus more than makes up for it. As well, if you get a top-end blue that, say, is level 40, as soon as you hit level 41, that's no longer a top-end blue for your level, but your heirloom piece will be. You know, it will be close to that or very good anyway. So it's going to level with you and it's going to out-level all your other gear that you get anyway. So I'm totally okay with this change if this is what's occurring. Now, what do you guys think about this?
The original question was, do we have an opinion on them changing it without including it in the patch note or a blue post? And I don't even care. I mean, the heirlooms are so powerful anyway, even if they're crappy. Even if they're right now considered crap, they are still very powerful. You go into a pug, they're pure crap. If you go into a pug now, can't do it. If you go into a pug now and you know you've got some people in heirlooms and some people without, you can tell who's got the heirlooms on. It is it's already. If they're weak now, they're still more powerful than what people are currently having, and it's because of what Hen just said. Their heirlooms are always at their level no matter what, and if half your gear is always at your level, then you know it's current. If you don't have any heirlooms and you know, let's say you got blues a couple levels ago, I guarantee you my alt that I'm leveling half is I tried to queue up for a cataclysm random just because all the NPCs had disappeared in Hyjal. And there wasn't even critters. There's no flight paths. There's no portals back to Orgrimmar. Just it was an empty zone, and it was freaking me out. But so I was trying to queue for a random and a cataclysm dungeon, and it said I was like almost 100 item level points too low. And I was thinking to myself, wow, because in all of the Wrath dungeons, I'm tanking, and I'm doing a crap load. I'm pulling number one DPS unless there's someone in heirlooms DPSing.
Yeah.
And I don't have any heirlooms on that guy. And I'm still pulling pretty close to, if not number one, on damage while tanking. And, it's... And my item level is pretty dang low for what I'm doing. So, yeah, my opinion is I don't think it matters. You're going to level up so fast that the gear's going to level up so fast with you. And then next thing you know... It's still going to be better than what you get. And of course there's going to be that you'll get a quest where something will be better than your heirloom for one or two levels. But the thing is if you didn't have the heirloom, you would be stuck with that weapon for a while, most likely. And then you hope that you get a drop out of a dungeon or finally get a quest reward that isn't garbage.
And hope someone doesn't take further off spec on you. You right. Mentioned that last week, didn't you?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, right. Well, we have. What?
Oh, I was just gonna say. I mentioned this before earlier, but on my warrior that I'm leveling, I just got into Outlands, but I'm still using a shield that's like 20 levels below me right now. You know, so it's like. Having those heirlooms just means that's gear that I don't even have to pay attention to. Whether it's equivalent to a current level green gear or blue gear, I really don't care. It's going to be level appropriate gear that I'm not going to outgrow. I don't even have to worry about it. It's not a big deal. And the everything put together, the helmet, the cloak, the shoulders, the chest, all that, I think it puts it add up to like 35%. XP, I'll take that any day over a couple of stat points, you know.
Yeah. I really kind of wish I had it on my alt, but I'm glad I don't. It's interesting. I think if I had leveled up so fast, I wouldn't have had time to make all that money on the way up. Even at only 3 days played.
Yeah. I'm been touching this warrior for like just a like maybe a week. Not a week played, but a week, and I'm already halfway through the 60s. You know, it's you really just plow through it at this point. Speaking of gold, do you want to send some gold over to my warrior there?
Shoot, man, you should be taking my advice. Get a pen and paper, man. we got Shang Haiku. Shang Haiku says, "What's an ideal rotation for a feral druid?" Well, you're in luck. Episode 10, we kind of covered this with a comment from Mon Elamari, the space squid kitty. I'm sorry. Nice. I am so sorry. Elamari posted he's got a blog for, it's a feral druid blog, and it has leveling as feral, it's got feral tips. You could also see episode 11, where we talked about websites that you can go to for optimization for all classes and specs. One of those was Noxic, and straight from Noxic, just go to Noxic and hit World of Warcraft, PvE, Druid, Feral, and then go to Spec and Rotation. And it'll show you the icons and the kind of order that you want to do it in, and then it'll give you a brief rundown. It basically tells you the kind of theory behind it. I don't want to rip them off verbatim. They put a lot of work into their site, so go check it out, and it's going to tell you basically what you want to do, building up your combo points and how to consume them, which abilities to use first, that type of thing. All right, well, I think now it is time for That's right. It's time for shout-outs.
Yeah. Very nice.
Well, our first bunch of hen love, of course, will have to go to the Horde release. It's been a little quiet around there this week, but that's a lot of people are trying out alts on other servers right now as we wait for the expansion. But still, I can't wait till next week when everyone's back home in the Horde release and we're all leveling together to get up there, so I'm looking forward to that, and can't wait to do that with everyone.
Yeah, I don't even have room to roll an alt on Deathwing anymore.
I'd probably be on Deathwing if I had room, but I don't. I've got 1085s there, and they're awesome.
I've already deleted two characters off of Deathwing, and then I've got more still, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to keep deleting characters. I'll just do it on new server.
Nice.
Also, giving a shout out to Hearthcast, Root and Freckleface, the World of Warcraft podcast for the casual player. Those guys are fun. Listen to them and maybe even win a Hearthy if they deem you worthy.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to send a shout out to Dark Moon Herald, our good friends Kevin and Apsana over there. They're doing a really fun show. It's a really unique kind of I don't know, you could tell they just put a lot of energy and fun and thought into it to keep it entertaining. And Kevin, I did I joined him on a Nax run that he did about a week or so ago to try and help him get some transmog gear, and we didn't get it, but it was a good time to go in and just tear through Nax. I know he had some adventures failing before we got a group together, but yeah, DL, I'll be happy to go back and do that again with you guys anytime. I will kick it down to our 5-star reviews. We got a couple this week, and that's super awesome. And again, I know we've mentioned this before, but if you leave us a review and it's not on the US store, shoot us a note on Twitter or an email or something, because those do not show up anywhere very easily to see unless you go out and do searches for them. So if you leave us a 5-star review, let us know. We can make sure to include it in the show and tell everybody how awesome you are. Just like Vinny 1987 says, great show. I've been listening since episode 2. Great perspective and great hosts. And that's crazy. Even you, Hind. I think that he's
included. Of course. No, I think especially.
He's referring to Hind?
Especially Hind.
Well, since Hind invented podcasting, we're very privileged to have him on the show.
That's right.
You know it.
You guys, told Steve Jobs what a good idea it would be.
And we have one from Oa Girl Dragon that says they can help you too. Are you an idiot? A noob? Do you stand in the poop? Is your pug SOL because of your POS DPS? Then you need the training dummies. Man, that's awesome. Wow. That needs to be a bumper right there.
At first, I thought the first three parts of her statement, I thought she was talking about me. I was like, oh, I don't know, am I? Jeez.
You know, Rob stands in poo, but not...
Rob does dubstep.
Hen's a noob and I'm an idiot.
I stand... Let's see, if I do stand in it, it's on purpose. It's because I'm getting something out of it.
Dropping
I'm getting some
beats.
Sort of... Yep. I'm dropping the bass. I just got to figure out how to add my own sounds into GTFO, and I'll be good to go, man.
Awesome.
All right. Well, we have some winners to give away some prizes to, and
I'm going to wieners.
We have two. We're gonna have two rolls here, for a wiener. The first roll. This is Twitter, right? The first.
Sure.
Is that?
Yeah, we'll do Twitter first.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So we had 90 entries total for the Twitter.
90?
So,
90. That's like half of Twitter.
So, the winner for Twitter is... Cybibro.
Cybibro.
Number 13, Cybibro. You fall into the winning category. All right. I'm going to skip the drum roll for part two there.
that was longer awesome.
It was a little more suspenseful than I thought it would be. So let's see. The second contest winners here. We're doing these live. We didn't roll these beforehand. We're actually rolling these right now as we're recording. So... let's see here. All right, so this is Facebook, yes? Facebook.
Yours.
All right, the winner for the... let's see. We didn't have quite as many. Your chances were really good if you entered on Facebook. So you guys just tweeting and retweeting, you should have been doing this on Facebook, because we only had 15 entries on Facebook. And here we go. Here's the number, and that is... 12, Jared Lulls. Jared Lulls on Facebook.
Come on down.
You win. All right. Yay.
Awesome.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Sorry. That was dorky. All right. I guess we needed
awesome.
More sound effects.
All right. Well, I think that does it for episode 13 of The Training Dummies. I'd like
so
to thank...
Soon?
Yes, I know. So soon. Oh. I'd like to thank everyone for sending in your questions. You allowed us to ramble on probably a little more than we intended. But be sure to check out our website, thetrainingdummies.com. If you'd like to contact any of us or the show, our information is there. We also encourage you to leave comments on the episodes or more questions so that we could do another episode like this again. You can also like us at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies, follow us on Twitter @trainingdummies, and subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you have a question, please don't hesitate to email or record an MP3 and send it to the show at thetrainingdummies.com. Thank you and good night.
At Rob Copeland.
And underscore Horton.
And we will see you when Mists of Pandaria comes out. That's the next time we'll be talking to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and good night.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo!